Happy Monday, everybody. Thanks so much for dropping in here on the Be Our Guest podcast for yet another trip report. Actually, this week, we're continuing on with John from last Monday. We had such a great time talking about his trip last November Thanksgiving time. We're wrapping it up today, so I hope you enjoyed last Monday's show. If you didn't check it out, go back and listen to that one first because this is a continuation from last Monday's show. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. You have The Wisdom of Walt, which is the book about Disneyland by author Jeff Barnes, how Walt Disney took his expertise in animation and turned that into a three-dimensional experience for all of us fans to get to interact with the worlds we saw on TV. Also, it's a book that gets you fired up for your relationships with those around you, friends, family, coworkers. It really does get you excited for being the best person you can be. Of course, you got the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, focused on Walt Disney World as well. Everything's a little bigger and better in Central Florida. So check out these two great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For the cost of a couple of cream cheese-filled pretzels down in Tomorrowland, you're getting 365 days of great information. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1358 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Check it out today on all of your, I call them the listening devices, your Amazon Echo, your Google Home, whatever listens to you all the time. Just yell out to listen to Magical Mouse Radio on TuneIn and you'll be golden. Maybe the Interventions Loop's playing right now, one of my favorites. All right, we're going to continue last Monday's show. We had a good time talking about a trip over the Thanksgiving holiday. My good friend John here in St. Louis back with us. I know you enjoyed last Monday's show, so John, thanks for coming back, and let's wrap this one up today.
Absolutely.
That was a fun one. I got a lot of great feedback on this, man. It's you had good information, but I think even better stories. So, you know, you're a professional, though. You worked in sports talk radio, which I can't even imagine how that has to, prepare you for something like this, because people sometimes are a little passionate about their sports, especially in St. Louis. I mean, I'm sure it's like that in every market, but, especially around here.
Well, around here with baseball. And I was very fortunate I was at the radio affiliate or home of the Cardinals here in St. Louis for a couple of years and got to do the pre and post game shows and working with Mike Shannon and John Rooney, the two radio broadcasters for the Cardinals, and working with a number of people. It can be stressful. I mean, St. Louis, it's an odd city. You know, I know you have people in New York and in Boston who listen, who are extremely passionate about their teams as well. But when I'm critical of the organization or the team and the way things are going, and then somebody calls up and says, you know, I'm really disappointed in you. You need to be more supportive of our team here in town. You need to get behind these guys. And I'm like, really? That's not my job.
You know, it's by them. That is so St. Louis. I know we're going to get right into the Disney, but I'm not kidding. If you're a sports fan, that is so St. Louis. Even my daughter, Mallory, she's 10. Okay, we have a right fielder, Dexter Fowler, making like a bajillion dollars to hit like 150. And I love the kid. We got this kid coming over the minors, Harrison Bader. Fast, one of the fastest guys in major leagues, hustles all the time, great arm, just a great player. Like, I'm just like, let Fowler, just let him sit, let Bader play right field. When we're recording, last night we went to the Cardinals game. Okay, so she's like, Fowler walked. He didn't walk. He struck out the one time he pinch hit. Like, they're making up excuses for players now. But I mean, that's how St. Louis is. Like, you are not allowed to talk bad about a player in this town.
No, and I'm fortunate that, you know, during Tony La Russa's era, when I was working in sports radio, it was between 1999 and my last year would have been 2011, would have been my last season. And they were very, very successful. They only missed the playoffs two times, and they were never irrelevant in September. And I got to cover two World Series championships, and one of the greatest things that I wanted to do in my life, even since a little kid, because my dad was in media too, and he'd come out of these things with champagne all over him. I wanted to be in a World Series winning locker room, and I had that chance in 2006. It's something I'll never forget. But to be in a bunch of those champagne celebrations over my career, those to me are the highlights over trips, over events, over interviews. Those memories are what will always stick with me.
Oh man, you're living my dream. Like, it's kind of weird because my dad works obviously in St. Louis radio too. You know my dad, and it's just one of those things, man. That's it. Last night I was in the Cardinals Hall of Fame down at the ballpark, and I was doing the fake calls of all the famous moments. They have a little booth there where you can sit at the Jack Buck microphone and call the David Freeze walk-off or the Ozzie Smith against Todd Niedenfuhr. Was awesome. But let's talk Disney. I could do that all night. Mm-hmm. I never got to do what you did, man. I'd be in heaven. I'd cut people off, though. All right, so we talked about last year. We got kind of up to about halfway through trip. You guys went to the Christmas party. If you didn't listen to last Monday's show, go back because John forgot his tickets. Disney worked magic. Short stuff. They got to go to the party. It was fun. So the next day, you head back to the Magic Kingdom, continuing on with your trip. It's a non-party day. Walk us through this day. It's a Wednesday, midweek.
Yeah, so this is the day that my wife and I had both had a surprise. The girls, we had said from the beginning, we go back, we're not going to Bippity Boppity Boutique because we're not spending $140 so you guys get your hair done again. You're too old. You did it once. We're good. Then you know what happened for like 2 months before the trip? Are we going to Bippity Boppity Boutique? Can we go to Bippity Boppity?
Mallory's been three times. We swore she was only going once. We were like, you get the pictures, you've been there, done that, boom, done. Three times.
Yeah, three times. Yeah, you take a loan out later and you're still going to the darn thing. So we did it. We dropped that on them and they were very, very excited. I will tell people, and I know that you have people that say, what should do it? Is it worth it? I thought this is the biggest waste of money. I can't believe we're spending this kind of money for them to go and get their hair done. And then I walked in and I looked around and I saw them sit down and I watched it and I said, God, this is why you pay it, isn't it? It is worth it. It's worth it just to see what she's just to watch her right now. That was worth every penny we just spent.
Yeah, they have some kind of like, with Steve Jobs, he always called it the distortion, the reality distortion field, you know, like at an Apple event, you know, like that's the greatest thing ever. You know, like Apple announces something like, and, you know, if you're in reality, you're saying, you know, that's a feature that's been around for 2 years. Apple's just putting a new spin on it. They're marketing it to you, but you don't care. Like, give me, here's my money. Give me a new phone. That's right. One of those things.
All that happened was a lady in a dress fixed your hair up and put some glitter in it. Yeah, but did you see all this?
It was magic. It was in a castle, or at least it was in a store in Disney Springs. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we did it in the castle, too. I should say that. And that was to us, that was the most important, to get it done in the castle.
All right. So, we're just going to hit a lot of highlights here. Lunch at Be Our Guest. What'd you think about that?
It was great. We wanted to do breakfast the next day, but I'll explain why we didn't do that. But we weren't going to do a dinner. We had done the dinner before. It just wasn't going to fit the way that we wanted to do our trip. This was one of the, you guys each pick a place that you really, really want to go. Riley's loves Chef Mickey's. That was hers. And Be Our Guest was Isabella's. And I love the place. It's the coolest restaurant I've ever been in.
It is. I mean, if you really want to, I think this hopefully will be the future of dining venues for Disney moving forward, because as much as a lot of restaurants, I mean, if you think about it, a restaurant should be about the food, you know, like in the old days, I mean, that's the old way of thinking, but it's experiential. I mean, you are sitting in the ballroom or you're sitting in the library. I mean, and it's actually like sitting in a cartoon, you know, you're in the movie as you're sitting there kind of looking around. I love going in there.
Oh, and the pre-ordering is a huge, huge deal. That is awesome when you can just walk in and go and sit down and you get your food before the people who were in front of you getting their order, who got there before you while they were putting their order in. Yeah, they don't get their food and you're sitting there and they're still standing over there in line waiting. So pre-ordering the food is a fantastic option. And it's a good value for a quick service on the dining plan. We were there on free dining. So going there and having a quick service credit, you can't find a better use on property than that place.
And again, there's your competition.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. No, this was one after. This is after the hours changed on Thursday. We were going to go there for breakfast. But I'd already had the breakfast. So I was like, ha, pre-park open breakfast. That's like a golden ticket down in this place at Magic Kingdom. And then Isabella goes, can we go there for lunch, too? I'm like, really? You know how hard it is to get this one? Now, we were able, fortunately, to get it.
Did she ask you that while she was all dolled up from Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique again? Because that haze just kind of carries over and over.
No, fortunately, was it was well before she wanted to do this.
I hope so.
Yeah, it was well before. It was in the planning. Like, I've got all this all figured out. Anywhere else you want to go or anything else? Can we get Be Our Guest for lunch?
Yeah, well, that's
find something harder.
Yeah, that's no problem. That's what I was telling my kids. No, I'll see what I can do. Usually I can't, but anyway. All right, so again, we talked last Monday a little bit about how you enjoyed the evening holiday festivities over at the studios. Really liked it there. What did you think? Because you did the same stuff at the Magic Kingdom, the holiday festivities going on there. So how was that night?
Frozen Holiday Wish is cool. We actually waited to do it on this night, knowing we were coming back, and didn't do it during the Christmas party. We just went on attractions instead of doing the Frozen Holiday Wish. It's like, yeah, we'll just go on tomorrow night. It'll be fine. And it was a great idea until the show started and somebody said, hey, let's throw the kids up on the shoulders in a few rows in front of us. Please don't do that. It is so disrespectful to everybody around you. Holding phones over your heads, putting the kids up. One person's experience is not any more important than anybody else's. We're all paying a lot of money for these trips, and one or two kids going up there ruins a view for a lot of people behind them. And these people didn't care. It was disappointing. I mean, I took a picture and tweeted it out of these kids sitting up. We literally couldn't see Anna and Elsa and Kristoff on the stage at times because these kids were in the way. And when you've got two little kids, you got one who's 11 who can't stand on a stroller, and the 7-year-old who is at least standing on the stroller, so she's as tall as my wife at that point. And you can't hold an 11-year-old, for God's sake. She doesn't want to be held to see, and she misses the show and has to watch the show on YouTube later. And that stinks. And it's not because she couldn't see the bottom of the stage. If those kids weren't up on the shoulders, then she would have been able to see. And it's frustrating that happens.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said that, because I feel exactly the same way. That it's again, and we've talked about this for years on the show, there's so many situations at Walt Disney World where it's just use a little respect, the thing is, everybody wants to see, and is your kid going to have the A1 primo view of something like that if you don't put them on the shoulders? No, they're not going to have the primo view. But you know what? By doing that, you're going to take away any view at all for like 100 people behind you. And it's not even kids. Like, I've been with Ricky. I mean, Mallory's taller than Ricky now. So it's like, I have to explain to her, okay, this is going on now. And she's seen it. I'm just like, I know you're down there. Wait, I'm 6'3". I'm good. But, she's just heard rumors of some shows, never seen them. She knows they exist.
Half of Happily Ever After is probably one of them. And I know you mentioned that. We had the same issue, Happily Ever After. It is an amazing show. It was a show that I stayed away from everything. I didn't hear the soundtrack. I didn't watch a video. I didn't look at pictures. I didn't want anything until we were going to go and see it. And I'm glad that I did that, because seeing it in person for the first time, it was amazing. It was amazing enough that when it was over, I turned to my wife and said, I don't care what we have to do. We're coming back here Saturday night. Because originally it wasn't the plan. We were going to be at Epcot all day and night Saturday. So we're coming back here to see the show one more time. But again, my 11-year-old couldn't see the bottom quarter of the castle, or bottom third of the castle. Because, and it's this isn't necessarily because people are on shoulders, but that show is so projection-based that it can be challenging to see everything. So there were times where, like at the beginning when Tiana's and the projected right there where the clock is, she couldn't see that. Or other things that are going on at the bottom. We watched it on YouTube later when we got home, and she's like, I didn't even know that was going on. And that frustrated me. And I let Disney know that this happened and just kind of my feelings on it. And I actually got a phone call from somebody, and we discussed it. I asked about people sitting down, which is actually done, I believe, in Japan during their Tokyo Disney, during their evening shows. But, they've thought about that, but getting people to do it. And we can't get people off the shoulders, for God's sakes. How are we going to get people to sit down?
Well, because
5,000 people.
Exactly. And I mean, all it takes is like one person to stand up, then the person behind them, it's like at the ball game. I'm sometimes a stander. You know what? If it gets like, it's like ninth inning and you got two outs, man, I'm standing. I'm always like, sit down. The person behind you isn't standing. I'm like, well, they need to stand. It's, it's the last out. We need to stand and clap.
This is great. Why is the 6'3 guy standing?
Exactly. I'm into the game. What can I say? So now you mentioned something here. I got to throw this out there because, man, this is my move. And I learned this move a couple years ago just because I'm, I, I get cranky at the end of the night. So you guys, I'm assuming because you said best move of the trip, Uber from the Contemporary. So you guys walked the Contemporary.
Don't be telling people this.
No, you know what? There's plenty of Ubers. You know what? We got to keep the economy robust down there to keep the Uber drivers out there. So now you guys hoofed it just over to the Contemporary, you know, because it's not that far. It's a 5-minute walk. And man, you could be back at your room before that that next bus may arrive.
Right. So we stayed there in 2016. That's where the convention was. So we were always just using that walkway. So we walked out. We look around. It's like, we could just walk to the Contemporary. Just like, all right, cool. Bang, right over there. That we were, I mean, it was probably, we're in an Uber on the way back before the bus came. That is the ultimate move in getting back, because the Magic Kingdom buses, if you're going to go shortly after Happily Ever After, bring a snack, because you're not going anywhere.
That's the truth, man. That's the best $10, $12 you can spend. I'm just saying, like, it's mm-hmm. is an hour and a half of your life, you know, in air conditioning worth it? Yeah, $12 here. Take 100. That's how it goes. I don't hear you. Here's $12 and your tip is 12 as well. All right. So the next day, you guys go hard. So the next day, you did a lot this day. Now, this was where you're supposed to go to the pre-park opening breakfast to be our guest. You kind of switched that up, but it sounds like you guys really maximized your time at Rope Drop at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, this was a night of a cast member party at Magic Kingdom. So it was closing at 4:30. So when that became official, they moved the dang park opening to 8 o'clock from 9. We had an 8:30 ADR. The whole point of that was to bust in there and get pictures at 7:45 before they let everybody into the gates at 8 o'clock, and then get to our breakfast, do what everybody tries to do before the pre-park opens. But once that was nixed, we kind of decided, hey, you know, we were going to change resorts the next day. So my wife stayed back and started getting things organized. Isabella stayed back. She'd gotten a Star Wars playset on Tuesday or on Monday. She stayed back for that. And then Riley and I went over to the park. And this, my favorite thing to do at Rope Drop, that we were close to Rope Drop, is I know everybody goes to Fantasyland, but just going as far back as you possibly can to Big Thunder, and there's nobody there. We rode Big Thunder 3 times in a row. Walked back around. By the time we got back down there, time to get back on again, and did the same thing. It's fantastic. So we cranked out that 3 times and splashed. We had a fast pass for Space Mountain from when we were on Big Thunder on Tuesday. We had one of those any times for the rest of the week, actually. So we used that for that, and had breakfast at Gaston's. We got a ton done in the morning. And actually, I looked at her at one point and I said, you know, Mom and Belle aren't going to be here for like another 2 hours, and we've already done all this stuff. Do you want to go to studios, since we're already going to go to Epcot and Animal Kingdom, and just do all four, you and me? Which we almost did, just for kicks. I want to do that next time. But yeah, no, we cranked out a ton, and then went to Royal Table for lunch. And yeah, we had, which was a phenomenal experience. It's another one of those experiences of, good God, how much money are we spending on this? Oh, that's why we spend the money on it. Now I see. Now I get it.
But it met your expectations, because people, you know, again, we're talking Cinderella's Royal Table right there in the castle at the Magic Kingdom. One of those, you know, it's really what you see in the Burn Bomb Guide. You know, it's like, oh, well, you can actually eat in that castle? Well, yes, you can for a price. Yeah. But I mean, did it meet what you were hoping, you know, you were getting out of the meal?
Absolutely. And, you know, I hear a lot about food, and there's always seems to be complaints about character meal food. I thought the food that we had at Royal Table was fantastic. I had the pork shank, and you picked it up and all the meat fell off. It was phenomenal. And the dessert was great. Riley got a nice little disc with signatures, printed on signatures of all of the princesses that said happy birthday on it. And, you know, the princesses were wonderful walking around. I mean, you're sitting in Cinderella's castle eating lunch, for God's sakes. There's a lot worse things you could be doing that day.
I wonder what the food, and this is just, I mean, you've probably traveled a lot more than I have. I haven't traveled much except to Central Florida and a couple, you know, a bunch of cruises, but, you know, mostly to the same places. Maybe we're not as picky with food as people maybe from New York or, you know, I don't know, like more cosmopolitan cities. I don't know if you've been in St. Louis your whole life, but I mean, I think the food everywhere I go at Walt Disney World is amazing. You know, I have no complaints, but again, I don't have the world view that a lot of folks do.
Yeah, I mean, other than Hollywood and Vine, and I knew going into Hollywood and Vine, I had low expectations, and it wasn't good. Other than that, in the last two years that we've gone, the food has been really, really good everywhere that we have gone, everywhere we've eaten on property. I don't have any complaints. I also know what I'm paying for and the reason I'm paying for it. I'm paying to go to Cinderella's Royal Table to eat in the castle and to meet these princesses in the castle. I'm not paying to go and have a 5-star meal like I'm at Victoria and Albert's. You're paying, you go to Chef Mickey's, you're paying to go to a buffet to meet the Fab Five at one of the most famous, probably the most famous restaurant that they have on property. Again, you're not going to the California Grill. That's upstairs, and you have different expectations. I just want the food to be good. I'm not looking for fine dining and exquisite steaks and amazing. I thought the pork shank at Royal Table was extremely good. I thought the food at Chef Mickey's, for what you're looking for, it lives up to expectations. Maybe because of cost, expectations just get set at an unreasonable height.
Yeah, I mean, the cost is high, but here's how you got to look at those kind of places. It's not something, again, we haven't been to Chef Mickey's in a few years because it is expensive. But the thing is, and we say this time and time again on the show, that on a Disney vacation, time is money. And when you can meet the Fab Five while you're having a meal, and a good meal at that, you know, you're getting a very substantial meal, good food, lots of variety. You know what? You're saving a lot of time waiting in line later on for characters. You're getting meetings, you're getting great pictures. I mean, it's really kind of an all-in-one experience, which, of course, it's a premium experience, so you're paying a premium price. But, you know, again, it's not for everybody, but it's a way for you to kind of maximize your time and really be efficient in what you want to get done.
Yeah, I'm with you. I look at it as a let's knock out a bunch of characters. And we canceled two meet and greets because of what we got done at these character meals. They didn't want to go meet Mickey six times. Twice was enough, Hollywood and Vine and at Chef Mickey's. So we canceled the one over at Character Spot and we canceled the one over at Animal Kingdom because we didn't need them.
Yep. All right. So this is where the day really... So you guys are really ripping through some attractions there at the beginning of the day at the Magic Kingdom. But the day really picks up steam, man. You guys were on the move. You were the definition of Disney transportation experts by the end of this day. So walk us through everything else you did just by the end of this day.
All right, so after Royal Table, we left, and we walked. We went and took the monorail over to the Grand Floridian to go and see the Gingerbread House and everything that was over at the Grand Floridian. Did a little, hopped into a couple of the stores over there and just, you know, kind of took it all in. My God, by the way, does a place smell better in the entire world than the lobby of the Grand? How do you work in the lobby of the Grand Floridian in December?
I don't know. Well, do you just, like, want to go bite the house? Like, I'm sure somebody almost has. Like, if you're really hungry, you just want to go, like, chew on, like, one of the shingles.
I've also never seen a Christmas tree with full-size bird cages on it. That was a new experience.
It's kind of weird, but yeah, it's true.
So we did that, and then we had this was our big fun Fast Pass day over at the Animal Kingdom. So we took the bus over at the Grand Floridian over to the Animal Kingdom, and then we had Fast Passes for Everest and then Flight of Passage. And we really were just there to knock out these two attractions. We actually had it timed. We figured out our time so that we didn't have to be there that long. We just wanted to go and do these two attractions. Flight of Passage is amazing. I know that motion simulators are not for everybody, but if you can do screen rides and you like screen rides, this is the top of the heap. And to me, it's not even close. Did you do either of the Potter rides over at Universal?
I did Forbidden Journey, I think, the one's like a train.
That's Gringotts.
Gringotts, that's the one that throws you. No, I didn't do that one. No, they told me. They said, you do not want to do that one because I did the other one first. And I was like, if that ride was 5 seconds more, dude, I'd have barfed on everybody in that car. Like, because thing is, like, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoyed it. But when you have no context of, like, the snake, who's the snake guy, you know, and, like, who's that? Who's that witch? You know, like, I wasn't involved. I was just realizing that I'm getting slung around like spaghetti in a blender. You know, I didn't know. It wasn't that bad, but it was, yeah, I'm not big on them.
Yeah, there's a big story in there, and you don't know any of the pet characters that you're looking at. It can kind of take you out of it.
Like, what's
I totally agree.
I had no idea. I was like, what's a snake? Okay, go ahead.
Those were two of my favorite, probably my two favorite rides that I had been on. I mean, Rock and Roller Coaster I love, and I love Big Thunder, but the two Potter rides were amazing. This Flight of Passage is a whole nother world. It's good enough that we got off the ride, and Riley looks at me and goes, can we go wait in line again? And I look, there's the line. You can't see the end of the line. It's way over there. It's like 3 hours. She looks at me and goes, I don't care.
Kids.
Okay. But no, we're not, because we got other stuff to do.
We don't have time for that. Exactly. Sometimes you just got to put your foot down. You know, like, we're taking you to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. We had to be our guest. Kid, we're moving on. You know,
yeah, the whole point was to try and do a lot. We're not going to stand in line for 3 hours. We got a Fast Pass so we didn't have to stand in line. It defeats the whole purpose of all this planning I did.
Yeah, that line's for suckers. Come on now.
Yeah. So, and actually, we had changed our plans here. Our original plan was to stay at Animal Kingdom throughout the evening. The time we were over there on Sunday night, we got enough done. And, you know, It's got, we like the attractions, but as far as all of the other things that are to do within the park, it just didn't appeal to us. So we decided that we were going to take advantage of some of the extra time and go over to Epcot and do as much as we could in the evening there. So after we got done with flight, we took a bus over to the boardwalk so that we could just walk over to Epcot. And we were still one day out from our Bippity-Boppity experience, so the hair was still in good standing. And Isabella was dressed up as Elsa. And so the first thing that we did was go over to Norway and do the Anna and Elsa meet and greet, which thank goodness they have found a way to make that less than a 60-minute wait. We were there for 12 minutes before we saw her. It was fantastic and perfect.
Dude, we waited 5 hours to meet Anna and Elsa when they first came to Norway. Oh, my gosh. My wife waited in line for five. She was a saint. Paige and I don't know, because it was for Mallory, but I guess Mallory was with me too. We rode Soarin', we rode Test Track. She just waited in line the whole time. It was ridiculous, but yeah, it's
much
better.
That's not fun at all.
I love my wife, man. She puts up with me. That's all I got to say. So now let me ask you this, because that was a really busy day with a lot of transitions. And transitions sometimes are rough on kids. So how did the girls hang in there, you know, with this much going on? Because sometimes you got to watch it, you know, when you have this many cool things happening in a short period of time that it can be tough on the kids. It sounds like they did fine.
Yeah, we had some small issues at the Baymax while waiting in line for Baymax. We had a little hiccup. We had to get things back under control, but everything was fine. I mean, part of this too, and this is another question people ask: strollers. How old is too old for my kid? 7 years old? Not too old. Not too old at all. For two reasons: one, it's a lot of walking, and she needed it, and it's okay. There are older kids than 7 year olds in strollers. Two, storage. It's going to be a sad day when we go next and there is not a stroller and I don't have anywhere to put my backpack while we go on rides for a little while. And I'm going to have to take that backpack with me at all times. I'm going to miss my storage stroller.
I'm just saying, you're right. And I'll give you a pro tip though. When you're in that transitional phase with stroller or no stroller, we had, you know, when Mallory was born, I got did all the research, like what's the best kind. I found out it was a McLaren. It was like the Cadillac of strollers, you know, umbrella strollers, easy to get on a bus, you know, folds up. It's a really fancy umbrella stroller. But what we did in this phase where she didn't really need it all the time, like we'd take it to the Magic Kingdom and we'd park it at the front, like by the town square, you know, like where that big parking is over by where you meet Mickey. And we would go on. We wouldn't even take it with us. But we knew that if we needed it at any point during the day, like especially later in the afternoon, if she got tired or that evening, it was in the park and we could go get it, you know? So we didn't mess with it unless we needed it. But a pro tip is just to bring it to the park in case. But you're right. You'll make it though. It is kind of nice not pushing a stroller. It is shocking at first because what you do is just quit bringing so much crap with you to the park. I'm just saying. Yeah. You don't need as much once you get older.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But at
the same time, I like having it. I will tell you one other thing though. Just because you put your stroller right there doesn't mean
there.
In 15 minutes it's not going to be around the corner.
No, that's the game that Disney plays with you. Like, especially when your stroller was like $180. I'm like, I can't believe I could have paid $18 at Target. You know, I could have got 10. And then they're messing with you. Like, and plus, you know, you think you got, because like in Florissant, Missouri, dude, nobody's got that stroller, man. Because this thing is, I'm telling you, it's a Cadillac. You get down to Walt Disney World and there's 17 of them look exactly like yours. So mark it. I'm just saying.
Exactly. Yeah, but we did it. We parked it over when you came out of Haunted Mansion. They're right between Haunted Mansion and the Rapunzel's tower. And we went into Haunted Mansion and we came out and we looked around like, oh God, somebody stole it. No, they didn't. It was over in Liberty Square. It was literally like 100 feet from where we were standing. We had no idea where it was. It was terrifying for about 5 minutes.
Yes, it is. I'm telling you. It's like somebody stealing your car. That's what it is. You know, it's like coming out and your Jeep's gone. All right, so we got to get cracking. So you transfer now. You're going over to Art of Animation in a Little Mermaid room. Got a lot going on this day. Kids seem to really love Art of Animation, especially swimming there. They do have cool pools. But walk us through this day, this transition day, because a lot of folks looking at split stays, what's it like to make that change?
Just because your baggage is going across a bridge doesn't mean it's not going to take 8 hours to get there.
No, I can tell you, mine went from Pop Century to Beach Club last year over marathon weekend. It took almost 24 hours and my sneakers were in the bag. I'm like, I got to run the Dopey Challenge and my sneakers are in that bag and it's only 0.25 miles according to Waze. How's this happening?
It's getting picked up at 7:45 in the morning and you have to go down to get it from the front, from about four, that's ridiculous. but that's where we were. I mean, we didn't think this was going to be a problem. We're going to art. It's 7:45. It'll be there by 3:30. We'll have plenty of time to get ready. No, in a panic, I had to go down. Can you guys find our stuff? Okay, fine. And they had to go find it, and then they had to go find somebody to bring it down. It was very frustrating. So just know, plan on not needing anything that it is in your bags for like 15 hours. Just plan on that and you'll be fine.
100%.
I didn't expect that. That was a little longer. I knew it would take time. I was not surprised by that, but yeah, it took a lot longer. And then we went over to do the Bon Voyage breakfast at Trattoria Al Forno, which is more food than anyone is able to consume. It's impossible to eat all of the food that they give you.
You get
an appetizer, then another appetizer, and then three or four of the largest pancakes I've ever seen in my life.
So we're not even going to get into the IHOP thing here. We could, but let's don't. So anyway, this is where the skillet comes in. Again, if you tuned in last Monday, we talked about the Character Warehouse, but you had to get a skillet down in Central Florida because you wrote in and we had a question about a year ago about where do I get a skillet? Okay, so you could probably make the connection if you're a hardcore Disney fan, but tell us why the skillet.
All right, so the skillet is Flynn Rider's choice of a weapon of choice. In the film Tangled. So it was very, very high priority. This is Riley's idea. This is what she wanted. So we had bought a silver paint pen, paint marker, and we went to the kitchen store over at the outlet mall and went straight to the skillets. And we found one that was a good size that wasn't going to be too heavy. We also knew how much our bags weighed when we left. So we had an idea as to how much wiggle room we had to add a skillet to it, or if we were going to have to ship the darn thing home. So we got one big enough that could fit in a piece of luggage. And the whole purpose of it was to take it to this breakfast and to have Rapunzel and Flynn Rider sign it. And they both did. And it was a pretty big hit over there. I guess a lot of people bring fake or plastic ones in there. And our server came to pick it up and was like, oh my God, it's a real one. And so, yeah, Rapunzel came over and or Flynn signed it first. And then Rapunzel came over and put a heart under his and put her name underneath it. And it's probably the coolest souvenir we got.
That's right. Folks from St. Louis bring real weapons. We don't bring fake weapons to Walt Disney World. I'm just saying.
That's right. We don't mess around.
We live in a tough town, man. We gotta be prepared. All right. So we got to get through all the rest. You got so much. So now. I'm not really okay. I will ask you. You went over to the Magic or to Epcot and had a good time doing a lot of the attractions. You ended the day with Illuminations, and you said it was not your favorite. I'm going to rephrase. I'm not going to use the B word, which you
said.
I put
this in here just for you.
I know you did. But what could Illuminations do to win you over? Like, what was it about the show that didn't catch your fancy?
Oh, there's two things. One, when they have the ball, the part with the ball that seems like it's 10 minutes of downtime.
Yeah, well, that's where you check your Twitter feed just to make sure nothing's happening. That's what I call that.
Well, and maybe here's part of the problem. We said Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam was amazing. It was great. Projections, the lasers, the snow, the fireworks. Happily Ever After. That's the coolest nighttime show I've ever seen. And then we go to Illuminations that looks like a fireworks show from 30 years ago. And I know that's been around for a long time, but there's two things. It's that, and it's the story is so nothing like what Disney World is. I mean, there's like no Disney to it. It's kind of like Rivers of Light is, which none of us even wanted to go see. So we didn't even go and see that. But it needs more. It's just a fireworks show, and there is just nothing else to it, and there's no Disney story to it. There's no Disney music. There's nothing that especially the kids can relate to. Maybe it's more something that it's an adult-based show, but for the kids, it was kind of like, well, I don't need to ever see that again. And I know they're going to change it, and they're going to refresh it, and I can't wait to see what they're going to do because Bob Chapek said that it's going to be more Disney. The whole park's going to be more Disney, so I would expect that they're going to have more of a Disney theme to it, and I think that'll be welcome for younger park goers.
Now you make a ton of great points there, because it is, I mean, it's very unique, and I mean, Epcot, here's what I think with Illuminations and why I love it so much, that you had to see it, like, at the Millennium time, like at the Millennium Celebration, like in 99 or 2000, because there was a feel of Epcot in that era of, you know, something is really changing in the world's coming together, it's a new millennium. And this is when Illuminations was really, you know, enhanced, I thought, you know, and it, to me, it's all about nostalgia, but it's nostalgia for Epcot and it's nostalgia for Illuminations. But you're right. If you didn't have that, if you weren't there, like when it was the Illuminations and Tapestry of Nations parade combo at night, You probably don't like it. I mean, I'll admit that. So, and I'm ready for some drones, and you know, it does need a little kicking. I get it.
Yeah, and I can tell when you talk about it that's why you like it, that it is nostalgic. And Disney parks are a lot about nostalgia. That's what separates them from Universal more than anything else. Universal is not a nostalgic park. Disney World, everything about it is nostalgic. I mean, even with Animal Kingdom only being 20 years old, there are things there that have been there since day one, and there are people who were there on day one who, if those attractions go away, are going to be very, very sad about it.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, so next day is your last full day down at Walt Disney World. You guys move again over to sports, but you're going to be gone all day, so you really don't care about, you're not worried about like chasing down the bags and stuff like that. But again, this whole trip's been like breakneck speed, so I can only imagine the last full day. So walk us through that if you can.
Yeah, it was have them take the luggage over. We really didn't care. The only time we were at sports legitimately was to turn on the lights, to get ready for bed, and then to go to sleep and to wake up in the morning and drop our luggage off at the front desk or at the resort airline check-in desk. The whole plan was to go and spend all day and night at Epcot. Now that changed two times because of two things. One was happily ever after, and two, after we'd spent that other time in Epcot, it was, you know, we don't need to be here all day or all night. We can go and we'll do the things that we need to do. We had lunch at Via Napoli that was set up. We were going to do Frozen that day, which, hey, Frozen broke down. Have you ever heard of that? The Frozen breaks down?
It's
pretty amazing.
Yeah, it does happen.
So that broke down like all day. The one of which we got to be on the boat for, that was neat. As Olaf's head starts falling down, but his eyes are flickering still. So it looks like he's off. And that he's fainted, but his eyes are still blinking and he's still looking at you. It's really creepy. So we got walked off the ride. You got the Anytime, either that or the other tier one attractions at Epcot. And the darn thing was still down. We're at Viennapoli and it's still down, but we were fortunate before we were going to leave that we were able to go on it. But it is interesting when you see when it's been down all day, that fast pass line was out past Norway. Because it was all the people, all they were doing was letting in all the people who had their fast passes couldn't make their fast passes because the ride broke down. So you got the standby line of these people that are just not moving because it's all of us that we're going through. But we got to do it. Isabella got to go and ride Journey into Imagination. She loves Figment. We bought a Figment plush. That was very, very important. I have a cute picture of the Figment plush on the table while she's eating breakfast in our Little Mermaid room at Art of Animation. It's one of my favorite pictures that we took, just the two of them sitting there having breakfast. And Figment sat on her lap and watched as they went through the ride. Viennapoli was really, really cool. They came out and they sang happy birthday to Riley and I in Italian, and the food was tremendous. The pizza there is just, it's very, 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 very good. I would highly recommend that to anybody who's going down there.
Yeah, I never miss a pizza on every trip over Viennapoli. Love the quattro formaggi. That's my go-to. Oh. The old four cheese. You can't miss, you can't really, you know. I have a picky family. I'll eat any of the pizzas, but they won't. So we're happy with that, and I'm fine with it too. All right, so you kind of wrap up after this. You make an audible, go over to the Magic Kingdom again, one to see Happily Ever After. Apparently a hockey game almost broke out as you were waiting because somebody kind of shoehorned their way in. And again, it sounds like, you know, back to like we talked on the last week's show, a little competition going on for prime real estate over at the Magic Kingdom to see a fireworks show.
Yeah, we got there 2 hours early to get into place to get a good spot. And we were off to the right next to a trash can and a flower bed. So we had kind of backed off that and created a triangle so that nobody could get into this little area. How sad is this? This is what you do.
You know what? Every person listening to the show is like, yeah, man, I do that. That's my go-to. That's my move. I do like a trapezoid, but yeah, I know what you're doing.
So we go, and we do that. We're 2 hours early, and at 2 hours, there's people getting in position in front because this is a projection show, because they have made it such a priority to see this show from the front. With Wishes, you could watch it all over the park. It was cool to see it in different places, from Frontierland, from the Contemporary, from Top of the World or the California Grill, or out on a boat out in Seven Seas Lagoon. There were a lot of ways to go and see this. And now it's, if you don't see the front, you're not seeing the show. So now, like, I know that you just mentioned on one of your shows that about how you miss having a parade. You can't have a parade anymore.
You know, you're right. But, you know, you could. I mean, they just, people just,
it's it would six. Be 10.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you just got to, yeah, you're right. I don't know, but I want a parade. So people move, you know, get out of the way.
So no, it was bad and it was packed. And I looked back a couple days later to see what it was on the, what Touring Plans rated it. And they rated it as a 10 out of 10 crowd day. This is the first full day that Pop Warner had been in town too. So there's, literally a guy walks, tries to get in front of somebody else and a shoving match almost pops up. I mean, they're arguing loudly about somebody trying to cut in front of them because they've been standing there for an hour and a half and somebody's going to come up at 15 minutes before the show and try and get in front of them. That's not happening.
Well, see, people might not know this about you, but you're a big wrestling fan. So you could have taken them both out like within 15 seconds and you'd had all kinds of room. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. It wouldn't have hurt, but it would have looked good.
That'd have been awesome.
So yeah, and we had the same issue where Riley, you know, it was better. She could see better because at least we had some room to move and to breathe, but she still couldn't see the whole show. And I wasn't the only one. There were other kids who were there and we were trying to work as a group. And they were doing the exact same thing, it turns out. They had went a few nights before. It was a bad experience. They had gotten there early to try and get into a better spot and have a good experience. And it was certainly better. And I'm glad that we went and saw it again. I'm glad we made that decision. I know I've talked to you about, because you just did the garden dessert party. That is high near the top of my list of important things that I need to make sure that we have in place, because I want to make sure that we have a spot so we don't have to waste 2 hours of our trip ever again waiting for a fireworks show. That is a fireworks. I shouldn't say fireworks. It's a nighttime spectacular. There's projections and fireworks. And the projections are just as important as the fireworks that you see in the skies.
So well said. It is. It's not a fireworks show anymore. You know, it is. It's a multimedia presentation with fireworks. You're right. The dessert party, well, I mean, Pam was paying for it, so it was really awesome since I didn't have to foot the bill.
You know, even if it was terrible, it was great.
Exactly. I'm saying, you know, my problem is like, I just don't have the willpower, man. I tear up the desserts. It's terrible for somebody that's trying not to eat like, you know, 13 cupcakes and 17 scoops of ice cream. But the view was amazing from the garden there. So yeah, I agree with that. Now everybody's been there, you know, that last hours of your trip, you know, like, you know, it's your last night in the park. You're going home tomorrow. You guys kind of made the most of it. We've done the same thing that last night. We always try to close out the Magic Kingdom too. You know, it's like there's so many attractions. Let's get in as many as we can. So how'd you guys tackle the rest of the night?
Yeah, so it was either if it was walk around, if it's a short line, we'll get into it and just refresh my Disney experience over and over and over again. And again, this was a very crowded night and we still got on Splash and we still got one for Pirates and we still got one for Winnie the Pooh, which was like the only one that we hadn't done that we wanted to do. And I don't even remember if there were, I know there were other ones that I think we did Aladdin again, and maybe a couple of other ones. But no, it was fun. And it was, I mean, that I'll tell you this, if you're in a spot and people are checking out a Happily Ever After and you're trying to go uphill, don't move. Just don't move. You're not going anywhere until that whole crowd clears out. But once it does, you can certainly get a lot done in those final hours of the park being open.
Or you could draft off the fighter guy that you were by. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'll clear the way for you. You know, he's like a fullback.
I guarantee you he was part of the we're leaving now crowd.
I'm sure he was. Maybe by Disney security too. Who knows? Okay, so the next morning you guys take off. But, you know, as we wrap this up, you again, second pro move here. And I did this one when I was down in April because I ran the half marathon that morning on a whim. Like, it was still open for the Star Wars half. I was like, I'll sign up. We're down there for doing a work trip, some programs we were doing. I'm going to finish with the half marathon, but I'd already booked my flights and my flight out was like 11 o'clock in the morning. It ended up being delayed way late, so I didn't have to sweat this, but I wouldn't have made it by Magical Express. So I took an Uber from Wilderness Lodge to the airport, was there, I think, in 39 minutes for about $30 is all it cost. I mean, it was the greatest move ever, especially with the 4-hour window now for the return to Orlando International. But how'd it work for you? Because, like, as much as I want to do that, we don't travel light either. We each take two suitcases. We fly Southwest. So there's no way we could even fit our, like, we'd need an 18-wheeler to come get us with, like, a, you know, because we have so much luggage. Like, there's no way we could fit. So you guys did take an Uber to the airport. Did you check your luggage? Oh, you did check your luggage. That's what you did, right? Because I didn't do that because I was in a rush.
We checked everything at the resort, so all we had were our carry-ons.
Oh, nice. See, I don't even know if our carry-ons. We do not travel light. We wouldn't fit in a car. We'd need a couple. We even two Ubers, though. I mean, what's $60 to save, you know, a couple hours? I don't know, maybe.
Well, think about it this way. At this point, there are people who spend $25 to go from the Polynesian to Epcot in a car that has polka dots on it. Only because it has polka dots on it. And you could pay $60 to get to the airport.
Yeah. And my dude was awesome, man. He got me there. He was telling stories. Let me just tell you about my Uber driver who took me to the airport, because you really do get to know this driver because you're in the car board in 5 minutes. This guy drove to Atlanta. He took somebody to Atlanta when the hurricane hit because that was the only way this family, who was from out of the country, could get out of the United States. And this guy was a doctor and had to get home. I'm like, I'm like, how does that come up on the app? He's like, he paid me off the table. I'm like, I hope so. I mean, I hope he paid you well. He spent the night and everything. I was like, you drove somebody where? Because I felt bad. I'm like, I know you're taking me to the airport. I'm keeping you out of the loop here. He's like, no, I've taken people to Atlanta. I'm like, Georgia? But yeah, it's pretty cool.
Where's Atlanta, Florida?
I was like, I don't know.
There was one.
It was nuts. But yeah, so you thought that was, I mean, looking back, now that you've did that, is that something you would consider again?
Yeah, probably. Definitely. And we got to the airport so early still, and there wasn't a long wait and to get through security. It was actually only like 15 minutes to go through security. And I'm looking at it like, really, we got like 2.5 hours, 2 hours. And I thought it was very, very convenient. I mean, I would do a Magical Express I would still consider it. I mean, and again, now it's 3 hours again, but when it's 4 hours, 4 hours is ridiculous.
That's a lot.
No one ever needs to get to an airport 4 hours early.
But I do love airports. I mean, I gotta say, Orlando International is like a second theme park to me. You know, it's got Chick-fil-A, it's got Taco Bell, it's got two Disney stores, it's got a NASA store. I mean, come on now, it's amazing. I love that place.
You don't have a lot to compare it to here.
I don't. You know, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, Pasta
we got a
House.
Chili's and a California Pizza Kitchen.
That's true. And you got a Dunkin' Donuts. But anyway, what can you say? All right, so John, this has been fun. You know, 2 weeks of fun here on Mondays. Real quick, before we get out of here, we got about 2 minutes. Like, lesson learned, like the global from these two shows from this trip. What would you share with the listeners? Like, you know, one more memory or just something to help them plan a better trip?
I would tell people not to stress when you're there. To do all of that stuff before you get there. Know as much as you can before you arrive. And also understand that other than having your three rides and maybe your dining reservations, do not have any locked in dead set that this time we have to be here to ride Carousel of Progress, or what's this time we're going to go to the bathroom and then we're going to rest and we're going to go back. You can't do that, but know that you've made all of these plans and that you've done all this planning. So you have all of the knowledge to adjust and to have a wonderful trip and make sure that everybody gets to do everything that they want to do or as much of it as they want to do. It's a wonderful place. It's hard not to have fun. If you're not having fun there, you're doing it wrong.
100%. Hang that on the wall. That's so true. Well, John, thanks so much for these 2 weeks worth of shows, man. It's been a great time talking to a pro here. I feel like, you know, I'm like living the dream talking to a professional on the air. So thanks so much. And hopefully we'll catch each other down at Walt Disney World. I think our families would travel well together.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, take care. And don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the folks over at The Wisdom of Walt. Two great books. You got The Wisdom of Walt and Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. Jeff Barnes really takes Walt Disney's life and how he chased his dreams and turned those dreams into reality. You know, really, I mean, we know all the Disney songs, the old classic Epcot songs, but he really did turn dreams into reality. He took those things and turned them into three-dimensional experiences we could walk through at Disneyland. Dreamed bigger down in Central Florida. These books are all about that, but also about how you can get the most out of those around you, be a good leader at work, and be, you know, somebody that inspires your family. There's a lot of checkpoints in those books to just, you know, learn lessons from Walt. So check them out over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And stay out of lines and have a great time on your next Disney or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com. Check out all the great services they offer to make your next Disney or Universal vacation better at touringplans.com. Please support the show with our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. It helps support the hosting and the bandwidth and all that good stuff. It really does help. So again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Give me a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we've got a great Facebook page at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, we're going to be back again on Wednesday answering your listener questions. Next Monday, we'll probably have somebody besides John, but, you know, we got to get him down there soon so we can do another show. This is how it's going to be, so I can't wait. But hopefully we'll be back and enjoying the questions on Wednesday. So for John, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.